this is, chapter 4 is probably one of the most important chapters. Let's take it outside first. Thought, speech, and action, Dr. W. refers to as Lushin, garments. Why is it called garments?
Because they can be changed.
In other words, that, good second point. In other words, you wear clothes because that's what you, this is the way you express yourself. And, you know, clothes make the man. It becomes a little bit more stiffier to say that, but, you know, clothes make the man. Clothes tell you who you are. But they're not you. You take it off, put it on. Now, different one. Same thing. Thoughts, speech, and action are the means when we express our inner spiritual nature, but they're not us. The way I think and the way I feel, and again, when, I think, when we're speaking about the kohos and effort, we're not thinking about the conscious thought, we're speaking about the power of thought. That's something part of me. That's the way what I think is, that's what I thought today. Tomorrow I change my mind. I have people that way. I think creatively. So today I thought this. That was all wrong. You ever see a guy who had a guy who used to give shiur like that? Wow, that's terrible. He was excited about his shiur. And, he gets the kind of guy who like, kind of sold into it. And next says, no, that was all wrong. which is good, because it's very nice to see flexibility as long as you don't get carried away with it. So, and of course, speech and deed aren't you. They're just what you do. But that's, it's very important for our color practice. That's step one. Because if you don't have thought, speech, and action, then you're a self-contained person. So how real are those feelings and how real is that thought? You haven't expressed it. You haven't given outward expression to your inner Torah feelings. The one when they're probably not there. So, thought, speech, and action are going to, they tell us who the person is, how he builds his Torah personality. That's point one of this chapter. The basic thing, but fundamental, in other words, we need thought, speech, and action in order to give us a means to express our spiritual, thought, our spiritual feelings. That's what we say in the first part. Let's take it inside. When page Ches, Perdalad, oh, the Esther Konefesh of Kish, Moshav, and Rushim, Shemakshav, and Dibu Maisha, Shatar, and Mitzvah Torah, in addition to its powers, where chapter 2 is the essence of the soul, chapter 3 is the powers of the soul. Chapter 4 is, in addition to the powers of the soul, so every soul, every godly soul has three garments: thought, speech, and action, the 613 mitzvahs of Torah. I mean, 613, it's a Gemara. There are 613 mitzvahs, Gemara Makkos. The Gemara also tells us there are 248 limbs and 365 sinews, yidim. Yidim is much more, it's a general term, means much more than sinews. But again, what the Torah, what they mean by a limb and what they mean by a sinew is all a matter of debate. But the point is that they see tayag and tayag. The spirit, the body, is a reflection of the soul. And you have 300, you have the 248 and 365 in both the limbs and sinews, in both positive and negative commandments, because your body and your soul are interrelated. So the Mekayim and Ma'aseh call mitzvahs Ma'aseh, is when a person fulfills indeed all the mitzvahs associated with deed, with Hebrews, the parish called Tzad mitzvahs, and in speech, he's involved himself in the explanation of all the 613 mitzvahs and the laws pertaining to them, and in thought, he grasps everything as possible to grasp in the pardes of Torah. Pardes literally means orchard. But it's all, if you notice, he's got the quote marks there, because it's also an acronym. Pardes means Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Four levels of Torah understanding. Pshat is a simple pshat, what it says, what it means. Remez are allusions. Drush is extrapolations, homilies. And Sod is the mystic meaning. So every Torah concept exists on all these four planes. Pshat, simple pshat, touch. Remez, the illusion, hint. Every idea has alludes to a deeper spiritual concept. And then the drush is has an extrapolate halachically about it. And so is the mystic meaning. So when a person does that, our klal is targeted nafsho mulbashim mitzvah mitzvah Torah. In general, the 613 limbs of his soul are enclosed in the 613 mitzvahs of Torah. The practice is the chabad of the nafsho mulbashim the pardes kafi yichol the baso yishurish nafsho l'mala. In particular, in general, 613 mitzvahs, 613 powers of the soul, 613 limbs of the body. More particularly speaking, your intellectual powers, where are they going to be expressed? He says, they're clothed in the comprehension of the Torah that you understand the parties, kafi yichol pasavaso, according to your conceptual ability, the shorash nafsho l'mahila, and the source of your soul above. That's a cute one. The Rizal, he was in Tzvas. While he was there, there was just the cream of Torah scholarship. And Rav Yosef Karo was there. Rav Moshe Alshich was there. There, Chaim Vitel came. Just tons of people came, were there and came to study in the Ari. It was an amazing place. Now, the Ari would say a shiur on seven different levels. As part of the seven midos, seven levels of the shiur, and the pashut sweat through each level, so one level after the other. That's cute. Moshe Alshich, after the first level, conk out. Couldn't stay up. Why? He asked me, I said, look, your neshama is the neshama of the pshat. Your neshama is connected to pshat. So the pshat, well, that you get. As soon as I go to a higher level, that's not pshat to your neshama. So you're just not there. Yosef Karo would go two or three levels higher. He would get that, you know, halach dimension. He was a halach. He was halachas. Got higher? Out. Same with don't pull that on me, because I'm not going seven levels. You're sleeping, you're just sleeping. This idea, there is this concept of shorash nafsho l'mayla, that are certain, it kind of seems like certain people just, they kind of have a spiritual understanding of an idea, You see that, like, intellectually they're not there, but hey, it clicks for them because it's hitting someplace upstairs. Okay, so that's our intellectual powers are enclosed in our understanding of the Torah. How are our midos enclosed? The midos in Ava v'Yira, then it's the year of the Ava and famous of Hashem, who bought him human mitzvahs and ma'aseh b'dibur, the Talmud Torah Connectivum. They're enclosed in the performance of the mitzvahs in deed and in speech, which is Torah study, which is equal to all the mitzvahs. How are the emotions enclosed in the performance of mitzvahs? He explains. Love is the source for all 248 positive commandments. And from it, they are derived. It's a simple thing. And, you know, it's an old thing in human relations. You love somebody? You do something for them. I love you. What have you done for me? I love you. No, if you haven't done anything for the person, you don't love them, you love yourself. Loving the other person means getting out and doing something for them. Loving God doesn't mean feeling high and spiritual. It means doing something for Him, doing mitzvahs. So, love is the source for the positive commandments. We're all drawn down to love. Beloved, ein lakim amiti. Without love, there's no kim amiti, means true continuation. That can't be truly maintained. What do we mean? There's a very obvious thing about it. It's called mitzvahs arashim l'mada. You're doing mitzvahs because you're trained to. Like the kind of guy who we lived for 2 years in Long Island, and they used to go to the shul there. I'd usually make the 8:30 million. Occasionally I'd make the 7 o'clock millions, because it just was, you know, rush for something. And you'd see people there. Literally, the guy would drive to shul, shul put on salad and fill the daven, and then afterwards he'd take a cup of coffee and wake up. I mean, you know, like, you can see, he did the whole thing. Now I can start to be a mensch. Just route performance. So such route performance, as soon as the person is really under stress, it falls away. That's obvious. It goes even deeper than that. Let's take a person who fulfills mitzvahs out of Yerushalayim. He knows what he has to do. And he does what's right because he knows that it's right. But he doesn't love God. What's going to happen to such a person? He's going to have an inner conflict. Because his heart is not really in what he's doing. If he doesn't have any love, no matter how much fear, and I have to do what's right, and genuinely, I'm not talking about a person who is like, you know, a robot. No, a real person who understands and wants to do what's right because it's right. But if he hasn't developed himself to the point he feels a motivation for love, then he's going to love him. If you don't love God, you love something else. And most of us means love in our comforts. So he's going to want his own things. And ultimately, that desire for his own satisfaction, his own comfort, is going to win out. If you want to really do a mitzvah and to have the mitzvahs kiyum amiti, you need to love God. Give me another second. Kimakayim be'emes, because a person who truly fulfills the mitzvahs, the ovishem avaya, is one who loves God's name. The chafetz who dafka bo be'emes, and truly wants to cling to Him. And the only way you can really cling to God is to fulfill the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is the 248 commandments, which there are 248 limbs of the king. What are called limbs of the king? He's stretching out a hand. And we'll get into this in a moment. But every mitzvah is like God stretching out a hand, extending a hand here. Take a hold of me. There's a little stretch here that's important. First, here, I'll do something for God. Here, God, let me sing for you. I'll sing a song for you, God. God, I'll dance for you. What's wrong with that? It's very simple, on a very personal level. My wife doesn't like tomatoes. I do. Actually, it's the other way around. It's the easiest thing to say. If I would bring her tomatoes, look at a nice thing I brought you. She doesn't like that. I like this. Who wants this? You, God, is not interested in your singing and dancing. He says, "Do mitzvahs." So, Yishev Adakul LeBeEmes, you can't really cling to him unless you do what he said to do. That's loving him. Loving him isn't doing what you want. It's doing what he wants. It's such a basic lesson, but it's so very important, both in relationship to other people, and how much more so in relationship to God. If you love somebody, love is considered like water. Water is an example of love. What's the unique thing of water? It takes the shape of the container. It molds itself to the other person. You love somebody, you tune in for them and do things the way they do. Again, if that's true at a personal level, how much worse is it true in relation to God? You have something?
Yes. In the concept of Shalom Bayit, there is kind of two ways to attend it. One way, the husband still does the things in the house for the Shalom Bayit. He says, you do your thing, I do my thing. And we have peace in the house. The other way around, maybe you do things because you actually really, really, really love your wife and you want to see that smile just expressing in her face. And you feel the joy. When you serve her, you bring her the tomatoes, you feel the joy deep inside yourself because you see her smile. And it just
provided she likes tomatoes.
To be alive, what?
Provided she likes tomatoes.
Of course, I'm sure that she likes tomatoes. Not bringing strawberries, you see, this is fine. So in loving God, when you do a mitzvah, it's not only do a mitzvah, it's doing the mitzvah with joy, with extraordinary joy. If you're doing a mitzvah, you're probably the mechanical part of doing it. So.
Yeah, that's also true. Definitely. That's an important point, that you're not only just doing the mitzvah is motivated by positive feelings. You have something else?
Yeah. There's a debate raging between the magician and his brother. Now, what Asif the Kavana is whether it's joy Judaism or Kabbalah Somot Kavana. And seemingly you're saying that really, ultimately at the deepest level, it's enjoy being Jewish, and to love God, enjoy performing the message.
I'll leave those two greats to work it out. It depends if it's Yom Kippur or Pesach. But seriously, every particular midah has its day. Okay, so that's love. The year or fear is the source for the 365 negative commandments. Why? Because you're afraid to rebel against the King of Kings, who's God. Now hear us. They say we're afraid to rebel. We're not speaking about here fear of punishment. Fear of punishment is not fear of God, it's fear of being hit. Fear to rebel is it's already something pnimi. I can't do what's wrong. This is right. He commanded it. But it's a very, it's a chitsonius type of relationship. It's, you know, it's, he's the king and he commands, therefore I've got to do it. So it's not being, it's not, I'm worried about what he's going to do to me. I'm thinking about him. But it's him because of his position, as it were, as being God, that's just who he is. The second level is, you're a pnimius mizu, the inner level of fear is you're embarrassed. You ever stand in front of somebody and just like, okay, how can I stand in front of that person? Feel small. That's a very good feeling to have. You know, it's hard to have it these days. You know, it's hard to find great people like that anymore. But there are. And, you know, it's a very, like, the humbling feeling, it's also an uplifting feeling. Because, you know, on one hand, you're embarrassed and you're ashamed. On the other hand, why are you embarrassed and ashamed? Because you're getting in touch with who I really am. And then it becomes clear, well, I haven't lived up to that potential, therefore I'm embarrassed. But, like, if you're not in front, like, you know, when you sit in front of somebody who's not such a great person, you don't feel that way, and you don't get in touch with that, you know, inner dimension to feel embarrassed. So it's, you know, yes, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, it's, you know, it's humbling, but it's also uplifting. And that's why fear opinions, it's an inner level of fear. And then, you know, so you're embarrassed because of his greatness. You don't want to embitter the eyes of his glory to do what's bad in his eyes. What's bad in his eyes? Kol toles Hashem shesona, all the abominations of God which he hates. The klipas was dra'acha, and the klipas sitra'acha. Klipa means the shell. Sitra'acha, the other side. We'll explain what those terms mean in chapter 6. Asherimi kosam be'adam atachton. Their nurture is from man on this lowly physical plane. Achizosim bo, their hold in him is the Shoshamis Veslosa, I say. In the 365 Ten Commandments. Where does Klipa have its nurture? Well, a little bit is given to it from above. But most of it comes because man sins. When man does something, a Jew is a lightning rod. He's bringing down spiritual energy. And if he's chas v'sholem doing things which aren't good, he's drawing down spiritual energy to that area which is not good, giving it bias. You know, it's not only, hey, I did a bad thing. It's I've given energy to badness. Okay, so this is the first. This is the first part of the chapter. Again, to summarize it, like we said originally, you got garments, because you have to express yourself. How do you express your Torah self? Well, it's speech and action Torah. In particular, thought is involved in Torah study, and your emotions are involved are expressed through doing mitzvahs or refraining from doing sins.
What exactly is the difference between Chabad and Machshava?
Chabad is the power to think.
Machshava is like, yeah.
Thought, Machshava is your conscious thought.
See it one more time.
Chabad are your powers of thought. It's part of who you are. Machshava is the conscious expression of thought, what I thought. Not my power to think, but what I do think. In other words, it's the difference between the power of the intellect. If I would translate Chabad as intellect, it would be clearer that way. That is thought. It's intellect. Intellect isn't a conscious thought, it's a potential within the person.
And the difference between Machshava and emotions is the same thing?
No. Emotions are because feelings.
From the heart.
Right, but
the heart. Emotions come from the heart and it comes from the mind. The Machshava comes from the mind, right?
But at some point they find expression in.
Yeah. Your emotions also, your feelings come out in thought as well. Thought is a. That's another difference. The thought isn't necessarily intellectual. Thought can be also emotional. Thought can be practical. Okay. Now we get to the real meat of the parsha, and the meat of the chapter. Let's go back to what we were saying before. Can I dance for God? Can I sing for God?
Hmm? Yes.
Yeah. What?
And it's mirrored to the
yeah, but I mean,
as long as it's what's required, it's the way you express what God wants you to do.
But what's the difference between my singing for God and my putting on tefillin?
One, you want to do it, or God wants you to do it.
Exactly. In other words, that's not even what God wants me to do. When I say God wants me to do, He's made this a true spiritual channel. Something that's emes, real, existing above the world, existing before the world, as it were. That's there. Torah is, in other words, it is reality. My singing and dancing, well, you know, especially my singing. Yeah, singing and dancing. You're like, oh, did you like the song I sang for you, God? Huh? In other words, it's an awesome medrash. Says two awesome medrashes. One says, before God gave the Torah, there was a decree separating the spiritual from the physical. The spiritual will not come down to the physical. The physical will not ascend to the spiritual. Then, when God gave the Torah, it says, "But yet, it says, I will nullify the decree. But yet, Hashem Har Sinai, God descended on Mount Sinai. The spiritual came down to the physical. Moshe all Elohim, and Moses arose to God. The physical rose up to the spiritual." Think about that for a second. In other words, before the Torah, without giving the Torah, man and God separate. I'll sing for you, God. I don't want your singing. Sorry. I had a headache today. I don't want to listen to any songs. That's coarse, but it's... In other words, we're simple mortals. Is there any way a mortal can reach beyond his his mortality, his created nature, and touch the infinite, touch the Creator? Is there? Finite man, can a finite man relate to an infinite God?
From the last manual that you gave us, you can't do effects with effect on it.
How? On our own?
No, the Torah misses.
Oh. That's the Torah bridges the gap. That's going to be the board here.
What about like out of body experience and mind altered and drugs?
Yeah. In other words, you popped a couple of brain cells and you thought you were spiritual? Come on. Now, if you want to speak to me about true, you know, there are genuine spiritual experience that's not Torah. I don't know if it's Klipa or Goyish Kedusha. That's, you know, that part of the Veda I'm not sure about. But there is genuine spiritual thing. But that's not a connection to God. Huh. You're surprised that, oh, instead of this person, after laboring and working on themselves, and constant years of spiritual training, oh, he realizes his physical world isn't everything that's there, and can pop his perception to Malchus the Yetzirah, Nagit. Okay, congratulations. But what's the difference between Malchus the Yetzirah and this physical world? It looks nicer. The light shows better. That's all. Fancier or spiritual furnishings. But does that make it godly? No, you collect. I'm not about your Americans who pop your pills. I'm talking about serious Eastern religion people who got out, who've been able to transcend physical body experiences. I assume there are legitimate people doing that. I don't know too many. Too many, but I assume that there are. But what they do, they don't have our physical world. They've climbed the level and they understand the spiritual level. Big deal. What's the difference between this table and this table as it exists in Malchus the Yetzirah? Did you get closer to God? Because you understand that I'm not here and this physical realm, I can tune in to where the physical is only a manifestation of the spiritual. Congratulations. Is that God? No, that's a nice otherworldly experience. Those people, yeah. Some of those people are also good people. Some of them aren't. That's the whole issue. But that's not godly. You want to connect to God, the physical will not ascend to God, God will not descend to the material, except the Torah. Then there's the second Medrash. Medrash says like this, Kol mitzvah shasu avos reichus hoyu, ba'onon shemen turak shemecha. All the mitzvahs which the patriarchs performed were reichus, aromatic, fragrant, ethereal. Those are the different ways I translate it. The point is they're not tangible. The way they relate to God was not something which is like this. They're reichus. Your name flows like oil. Put your hands on. When we do a mitzvah, there's something higher and more complete in our mitzvahs, in the mitzvahs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hard thing to say, but that's what that Medrash is saying. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they did great things. But it was all kind of ethereal. We've got the essence. Why? Because they were man trying to connect to God. Here we've got God trying to connect to man. Totally different ballgame. That's the point of the next aspect of the chapter. Let's see it inside a little bit. We'll do it over on Thursday. We'll at least get the start of it. These three garments of the Torah and its mitzvahs, even though they're called garments for the soul, imkos that gavur v'gadol my loson when kates or miles nefesh ruach neshama atzma. Even so, their level is much higher, infinitely so, than the level of the soul itself. It says in the Zohar, the Torah and the Holy One, blessed be He, are all one. In other words, generally, a garment is not as valuable as the person wearing it. You'll sacrifice your clothes and you'll save yourself. Here we're saying the garments of the Torah mitzvahs, they're higher than the soul itself. Why? Because the garments are the Torah. What is the Torah? Godliness. There's no separate, He and the Torah are one. The Torah, this is God's wisdom and His will. God in His glory and his essence, kulei echad, all one, ki hu yodea v'hu amada, because He is the knower, He is the knowledge. Now somebody who's a good reader, has a decent memory, should ask a question here. What?
Why is it mentioned? He's the knower and the knowledge.
That's part of the question, but what does it mean? He's the knower and the knowledge. Knowledge, He's the one who knows, as opposed to human knowledge, where I know something else, and therefore I, the knower, the object which I know, and the process of knowledge are three separate things. For him, it's all one. You have a good memory. And we use the same expression there. Who amada, who yodea, who de atma. The author never uses precisely that same quote from the Rambam in chapter 2 to explain the neshama. So how do we say that the Torah, that the Torah is higher than the neshama, because the Torah is essential godliness? The answer is there in chapter 2 we speak about the essence of neshama. Here we speak about the neshama as it's already come down and functioning in this world. And yes, it's true, the neshama, even this world is godly. But there's a difference. Torah is, the example for Torah is Torah or Torah is like light. Light is always connected to its source. You put an interruption between the source and the expression of light, no more light. You block it, you cast a shadow, light doesn't permeate. The light is always connected to its source. It always reveals its source directly. The godliness of Torah comes out at all times as it is. In contrast, the neshama feels itself a separate entity. True, it's essential godliness, but that isn't its conscious self. The neshama, as we said in chapter 2, it's like the sun. Where a son, he's an extension of his father, He's his own person. So yes, if you will, and many times it's said that the connection of the souls to God is deeper, the connection of the Torah to God, because this is essence, and this is like life. Essence is a deep bond. But this is the essence, and the essence are necessary. That connection is still revealed. But the Torah, the light, is always revealed, and it goes through, you know, all the way around. Through the Torah, a Jew can reveal his essential godly nature. The Torah is the garment which brings out the godliness of the Jewish soul, and then. The Jew has lost the potential to infuse the Torah with essential godliness. That's not just light, but really God's essence comes down to the Torah. He says, "On a nafshik service yehavis, I wrote down and gave over myself." The Jew can reveal that quality in the Torah.
Okay,
but it's not going to say why I think this is such an important chapter. I mean, it just. Why does a person do a mitzvah? Because you want to connect to God. And there's no other way. It just like says it bluntly. You want to connect to Him. You have to connect on His frequency. And His frequency is Torah mitzvah. That is the way our bond with Him, our relationship with Him can be established.
But how is it different from the way it already is? The way it is, Chelik Alikai. What do you change in your relationship by doing mitzvahs?
Chelik Alikai, the relationship is hidden.
Is
you
it?
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, I thought the Chiddush was even the polish of a calling have in some way a revealed revelation.
Polish of a calling, if they're called on it, they wake up. And the soul is inspired to reveal itself through Mesivas Nefesh. But 24/7, they don't have the connection. Connection is hidden. That's why it's called Ava Mesuteris, the hidden love. Here we're speaking about a conscious relationship and bond with God. Again, you're wearing garments, soul, and the clothes are the man. You're expressing that inner connect, that inner bond, which the soul has. You're bringing that inner bond to the surface. That's what mitzvah is about.